It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Deadly plane crashes in Washington, D.C. and Philadelphia last week brought aviation safety into the national spotlight.
Since then, non-fatal safety incidents have gotten some extra attention, including a ground collision between a taxiing Air Wisconsin plane and an employee shuttle bus at O'Hare International Airport in Chicago on Friday.
This comes as Air Wisconsin announced plans to lay off hundreds of workers, and the Trump administration instituted a hiring freeze in the Federal Aviation Administration and the National Transportation Safety Board.
We're catching up now on what all this means for travelers in and around Wisconsin. Howard Hardy is an aviation reporter for FlightGlobal.com and Flight International magazine. He previously worked for Wisconsin Watch. Howard, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
As an aviation reporter looking at this deadly crash in the nation's capital, military helicopter. What are some of the big open questions that you're still waiting for answers on?
A lot of the aircraft wreckage is still being pulled out of the river, so we're still pretty early on in the investigation. There, at this point, much of the investigation is focused on the situational awareness of the pilots involved. We know that both aircraft were alerted to each other's proximity by automated systems, as well as air traffic control. We also know that the CRJ pitched up just before the collision, so it does seem as if the CRJ pilots saw the Black Hawk at the last moment and tried to react. We also more recently established that the collision occurred at an altitude of about 300 feet, which is significant because the helicopter was flying in a corridor along the Potomac River where aircraft are prohibited from exceeding 200 feet. So the helicopter was supposed to fly under the regional jet and did not. At this point, it's unclear why the helicopter was at that particular point in space at that time. And that is going to be a main focus of the investigation moving forward.
Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin is on the Senate committee that oversees the FAA and the Transportation Department. She told WISN-TV's Upfront that she thinks the Senate doesn't need to investigate at this point. They should defer to the National Transportation Safety Board for its investigation. Here's a listen.
I don't think that the committee has the expertise that the National Transportation Safety Board has. And so I think that we should wait for their investigation.
What goes into an NTSB investigation like this?
Well, a really critical component is recovering the flight recorders from both aircraft, which has happened before they even pulled aircraft wreckage out of the river. Apparently, the wreckage was pretty close to not a very deep part of the river. But before that wreckage even started coming out of the river, they located and pulled up the flight recorder data. And that does take some time to sort through that data and kind of reconstruct where both aircraft were at what time, what the pilots were saying in the cockpits of both aircraft, and what inputs they were receiving, what warnings that they heard in the moments before the collision, and what ATC was telling them leading up to the accident.
Now, the new Federal Transportation Secretary, Sean Duffy, former Wisconsin congressman, in an interview on CNN, he tried to assure Americans that it's still safe to fly in the U.S.
Of course it's safe to fly. So if you look at the American airspace, we have the safest airspace in the world. And air travel is the safest form of travel that you can undertake in the country. Now, we've seen some cracks, and it rattles people when they see these disasters, but air travel is safe.
I remember back in the day, Howard, 70s, 80s, 90s, passenger air crashes weren't routine. It felt like they were way more common than they are now, and I think the numbers back that up. Can you talk a little more about what Secretary Duffy had to say about overall safety of air travel?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say that flying commercially in the U.S. has been really safe for the past 16 years or so. The last fatal accident involving a U.S. airline occurred in 2009. That was a Colgan Air -8 that crashed on approach to Buffalo, New York. So the accident in D.C. really disrupts a decade and a half of relatively smooth flying. I know some passengers might not feel that way, given their experience flying with U.S. airlines and going through busy airport hubs and all the cancellations and delays that come with that. But this accident in D.C. really has already become a defining event for the aerospace industry, and not to mention the families and friends of the people lost in the accident.
There have been concerns the FAA dealing with some air traffic controller shortages, I understand, for years now. Now, the Trump administration issuing executive orders over hiring in the agency, stopping or freezing at some moments. Things change from moment to moment, it seems like. How much of a concern is there on that air traffic, crash investigator side of things when it comes to just sheer staffing levels?
Yeah, that's a big concern. The FAA has acknowledged that it doesn't have enough air traffic controllers to staff its towers. This is particularly a problem in the Northeast USA, where we have super complex airspace around hubs in New York and DC and Boston. And you're probably aware there have been several close calls that have added to this perception that we're kind of building toward a catastrophic accident like the one that we had on the 29th of January. That is not to say that ATC is to blame for the recent accident. Again, we're really early on in the investigation, but absolutely the system is strained. ATC workers are overworked and burned out and managing huge workloads.
We're talking to Howard Hardy, aviation reporter for FlightGlobal.com and Flight International Magazine, about airline safety and an issue here in Wisconsin. I mentioned earlier, Howard, Air Wisconsin seeing some layoffs. You've written about this. What's going on there?
Yeah, I do cover regional air aviation in the U.S. and Canada, and regarding Air Wisconsin and American Airlines, it's sort of unclear what is exactly behind the parting of ways here. Airlines are pretty tight-lipped about this type of stuff. From the outside, it does seem like there are some financial issues. Air Wisconsin is laying off hundreds of employees, and more than 20 of their jets are parked right now, not flying passengers, and neither of those signs are good, obviously. Based on what I'm hearing from American and some broader industry trends that we've observed, American's contract with Air Wisconsin seems to be expiring because American is favoring larger regional jets moving forward. So Air Wisconsin operates a fleet of about 60 CRJ-200s, and those are regional jets that seat about 50 people. And that is an increasingly rare size of aircraft to fly in the U.S. I asked American why they are letting their contract with Air Wisconsin expire in April, and they basically said that they're evaluating operating that size of aircraft across their entire fleet. So American seems to be moving away from that smaller aircraft in favor of larger jets, such as the Embraer 175. And unfortunately, it seems as if Air Wisconsin is a casualty of this decision by American and also this broader trend among U.S. carriers to fly bigger planes.
And I think these regional airlines, Howard, are a little invisible to the public. You go online, you probably don't buy a ticket for Air Wisconsin. You buy a ticket for American Airlines. And that right. one connecting flight, well, it might be subbed out to Air Wisconsin. How big a part of our airline industry are these, in some cases, invisible regional carriers?
Yeah, really big part. I mean, there are thousands of regional jets in operation. And from the perspective of the big network carriers like American and Delta and United, they're really critical components of their networks. They operate these feeder routes that, you know, they're really vehicles for feeding passengers into, you know, major airline networks, which are designed to flow people through big airport hubs and to points beyond, you know, international destinations where, you know, they make a lot of money on those international airfares. Now, in the case of Air Wisconsin, they are an independently owned company. So they're not a subsidiary of any of the big three network carriers, American, Delta, or United. And they struck a deal to fly for American under the American Eagle brand name in the first half of 2023. That's part of the confusion with regional jets, is that it won't actually say the name of their company on the side of the aircraft. It'll say American Eagle or United Express or Delta Connection. So you're right, they're kind of these invisible companies, but they are operating thousands of jets across the U.S., and it's a very important part of the whole system.
So Air Wisconsin losing this contract, apparently, with American Airlines, laying off staff, managerial and otherwise. What are they saying about their future and how they're going to replace this, what sounds like their bread and butter?
Yeah, the company says that it is exploring charter services moving forward, and there are profits to be made in flying, collegiate sports teams around the country, for instance. That's a model that has been replicated elsewhere. It is also saying that it will pivot to essential air service flying, which is federally subsidized flying to rural and underconnected communities. Right now, the future of EAS flying is unclear right now. There is some talk at the congressional level of cutting overflight fees. Those are charged to airlines that fly over the US but don't land here. And those fees partially fund that subsidized flying. So the program, could potentially contract or go away entirely. So I'd say it's kind of unclear how Air Wisconsin moves forward from here. The airline says that it's going to release more details of its new strategy within the next several weeks. So I suppose the airline geeks among us will have to stay tuned.
Well, and briefly, Howard, just in our last half a minute or so, if that funding ends, could we see more smaller airports, especially those serving rural areas, go away or cut passenger service?
Absolutely. That's already happening across the country. In the post-pandemic landscape, regional airlines have been contracting their networks across the country. Part of that is due to a pilot shortage, and another part of that is kind of what I was alluding to earlier, where a lot of these regional carriers are moving increasingly towards large jets, and it just doesn't pencil out to land a 90-seat jet in, a very small community, that it's hard to make money on those routes. So, yes, moving forward, I would expect to see an even greater loss of regional air service in Wisconsin and the Midwest and the US as a whole.
Howard, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
That's Howard Hardy, aviation reporter for FlightGlobal.com and Flight International Magazine, formerly with Wisconsin Watch, with us today to talk about safety concerns in the aviation industry following the deadly crash in Washington, D.C., and some other airline trends affecting us here in Wisconsin. Clarification, that vehicle collision at O'Hare with an Air Wisconsin plane occurred Saturday evening, not Friday.